You're listening to Radiate Motivate Radio with Monique Valdez and Keith Wright, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Radiate Motivate Radio with Monique and Keith. I want to thank you guys for taking time to tune in with us. Thank everybody that watched last week's, our first episode on self-honesty. Today we're going to be addressing the topic of trauma.
I am so excited about this.
Yes.
I wanted to do trauma convos. And what's up, everyone? How's it going? How was your week? Happy Sunday. Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you.
To all the fathers out there.
Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
I've been excited to start trauma convos on Radiate Motivate, but we haven't had time. Has so much going on. And I wanted to talk and touch on finding the empowerment in the trauma. You know how that goes.
Right. Now, last week's episode, for me, we did it on self-honesty. So that one was pretty simple. It was just me being honest and open about the topic itself. But for this one, trauma, I actually had to do some research and to kind of dig and get an understanding of what trauma is. Because, of course, people know the word, they're familiar with it, but I wanted to get a better understanding of what trauma really is. So
right.
I brought my notes this week.
Good.
Just to make sure I can cover everything thoroughly that we're going to be discussing.
Ooh, nice.
So let's start off with the definition of trauma. What is trauma? It says that trauma is an emotional response to a terrible event like an accident, rape, or natural disaster. Immediately after the event, shock and or denial are typical. Long-term reactions include unpredictable emotions, flashbacks, strained relationships, and even physical symptoms like headaches and nausea. Now, is there anything on there that resonates with you as far as
trauma?
Yeah that definition. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Shaking of the soul is the best definition to me is for trauma. I personally have been traumatized in many different ways. I listened to this wonderful teacher, Tara Brach, and she has this example of a lion in a cage. Sorry, am I talking too far? Okay. Of a lion in a cage. And the story about it is something used, tortured, and it's in a cage, and it just circles around all day while they rescue the lion, took care of the lion, nourished it, loved the lion, you know, and set it free. But unfortunately, even though it was set free, the lion kept pacing in a circle, still living that trauma. And that's such a great example of when people are traumatized, like myself, which I hopefully that will get to soon. When I was traumatized by that, you relive that trauma. We have 60 to 90,000 thoughts a day. Let that sink in. 60 to 90,000
right.
thoughts
it's
a day. We may not know we're having these thoughts, but it's going on in here. It's a machine in this brain. So a lot of that trauma is in that subconscious mind. And it wasn't until recently I really freed that lion for myself, you know, found that bravery in that lion and that courage in that lion and that trauma.
Right. Well, for me, when I was thinking about trauma and how it relates to my past experiences, I think one of the first traumatic experiences that I've had, and I never really thought that I've had any trauma. I guess I've been somewhat desensitized to a lot of things. So things happen. I just kind of roll with the punches and keep it moving. I never really sit in a situation and feel like I'm traumatized or victimized because it's kind of normalized.
Right.
But when I was in elementary school at William H. Longfellow, Cleveland, Ohio, me and my sister were leaving school. And we were about to crossing the street and there was a kid that went to our school, apparently, that ran across the street, and the woman driving didn't see him, and she hit him.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was the first time that I saw a dead body, and
wow.
It was a child, somebody my age. And I remember the woman, she got out of the car, and somebody was consoling her, and she was just so hysterical, just like, oh, my God, he came out of nowhere. And the crowd, everybody stood around just kind of watching, you know, as it unfolded. But the thing that stuck with me was after everything was said and done, the fire department came and they just rinsed his blood off the street. And then it was just back to normal. So at the time, I don't really know what I thought. I do remember it. But looking back on it, I guess that is something that you would consider traumatic.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I guess no child needs to see that.
Absolutely.
Know? Right. So, yeah, that was, I guess, my first time with experiencing it for myself.
Right. Well, I'm sorry that you experienced that. I think for me with trauma, I've had a lot of trauma experiences happen to me, which we're going to touch on. But for me, the most traumatic part for me was the normalizing, the conditioning instead of addressing it. You develop this trauma where you don't have anyone to validate how you feel. Like, parents should be there to comfort you and help you feel through the trauma. But if you don't have that and you're a victim of abuse, and you don't have parents soothing that, teaching you about that, you become overwhelmed and you start having these feelings that you're not equipped to deal with. So you repress it. And unfortunately, I just read this awesome book. Well, okay, I'm lying. I didn't finish it. You can see my bookmark. I ain't going to front.
An awesome
Let me
book.
Hide it. I'm reading an awesome book. It's taking me a minute. But they were talking about how it turns into self-hate. And one part that really stuck out with me with trauma is, quote, trauma always carries grief, though not all grief carries trauma. Therefore, grief work is a prime ingredient for the resolution of trauma. And when we go through trauma, like you said, you're desensitized. You're just going through it. You know, you're just going through these experiences. I've been traumatic many, many traumatic times. And I just keep it pushing and keep it pushing. I don't want to be emotional, or I don't want to be the one that ruins a family or speak up, or, you know, it just, so that repressing turned into a lot of addictions or your uncomfortable anxieties. The psychology behind it is just unreal, and it's unfair for sure.
So that trauma kind of leads into other problems.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you don't deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or weren't able to deal with it, right?
What are the facts that you had for the statistics? Did you bring those?
I did. Some of the symptoms of psychological trauma, they include shock, denial or disbelief, confusion, difficulty concentrating, anger, irritability, mood swings, anxiety, fear, guilt, shame, withdrawing from others, feeling sad or hopeless, and feeling disconnected or numb. And that one I can relate to, the feeling disconnected or numb, because that's kind of like when I deal with things or have dealt with things in the past, I just kind of disconnect or maybe decompartmentalize those things.
Right. Do you feel that could have been a downfall to a lot of things of not feeling those moments or addressing those? Has that ever caught up to you and just like bit you in the ass? Like, damn, I never really thought about it, or
maybe,
just felt
maybe
it?
Maybe not. I mean, to be determined. Because like I say, with this topic, I'm not an expert on trauma.
Right.
So for me, I feel like this is I know I went through some traumatic experiences, but I guess it's a work in progress.
Right.
So I don't have all the solutions. I just have a little bit of insight from the research that I've done in my own personal experiences.
Right.
Some of the facts that I saw were actually kind of cringeworthy.
Right. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. These are the 2021 facts.
2021, this is going on, and not all reported either.
Right, exactly. One in six women in the United States has been the victim of rape or an attempted rape in their lifetime. One in 33 men in the United States has been the victim of rape or attempted rape in his lifetime. 40% of transgender people are sexually assaulted at some point in their lifetime. Every 73 seconds, a person in the U.S. is sexually assaulted. Crazy. 63,000 children are the victims of sexual abuse each year. And like you said, a lot of this stuff isn't reported. So these numbers are a low ballpark figure.
Right.
The majority of sexual assaults, 55%, happen at or near a victim's home, and often by someone they know or someone they trust.
Right.
And rape is the most underreported crime. 63% of sexual assaults are not reported. So again, this just scratches the surface of what's really going on out there. So these are a lot of people that are also dealing with trauma that probably don't know how to heal from that.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important to have these uncomfortable conversations.
Yes.
Like, this is not comfortable for us to just be like, hey, let's talk about trauma on our second episode.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is not really like, you know, it's very marketable. Oh, sorry. I'm just kicking the table all crazy. But it's not very marketable to say we're going to talk about trauma. But it has to be discussed, because one in six women are getting sexually assaulted here. You know, right. I think it's globally one in three women, and there's like a total of like 700 million women that have been sexually assaulted or raped.
Right.
So just that alone, this is what's going on, and we have to get to these roots. We got to truly heal. We got to truly manifest. We got things to do in life. We don't have time to sit back and be repressed or repress our feelings, for sure.
Right, exactly, exactly. And the best thing you can do with the trauma is to identify it, face it, and learn to heal from it so it doesn't right. hold you back in different areas of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to go into kind of an overview of what I've kind of been through, that I'm actually, this is me liberating my limits right now.
Right,
I don't
right.
really speak publicly about it. I know, well, for me growing up, it was like, if you speak up, like my siblings would come and kill me. Like my brother would literally threaten me, like, don't speak up. You know, if right. you go to anybody, I'll kill you, I'll hunt you down. So I've always had that fear, that numbing fear. Of just completely just letting things go, kind of like what you're saying, but to an more of an extreme level.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
right.
it became so unhealthy, so unhealthy. But so at a young age, I started off, my first traumatic experience is when I was like 5, 6 years old, I was molested by my dad's friend. And that was very traumatic. I dealt with that. But again, the problem with that for me was a victim shaming that went behind the scenes. I got slapped. I got in trouble. I got blamed for wearing a dress. I got blamed for everything that happened. Was it was my fault. But the right. mentality around me, the environment, I've had aunts that have been, you know, sexually assaulted by my family members. And it's my aunt's fault. It's their fault. They had a crush right. on my, you know, my the other person that raped them. And, you know, it's that constant. It's the child's fault. And even up to, I don't know, maybe like about 10 years ago, I just had a maybe like a physical altercation with one of my siblings, and because he was victim blaming my aunt, one of my aunts, and she was 10 years old when it happened. So just the fact that he was victim blaming her, victim shaming, it's her fault, she's a this, she's a that. It's disgusting. Right. Like she was 10. Like
exactly.
So having that environment and then going into the physical abuse in my household, there was a lot of physical abuse. I was the youngest. Well, I have a half brother that's younger than me. He's not involved when I say siblings. It's all my older siblings.
Right, right.
But a lot of physical abuse went on in my household. And that was something that I've learned to just completely numb. You know, I was constantly getting bullied and bullied and bullied. And I finally just grew up. And we grew up tough. Like, we grew up fighting. Like, that's just the mentality in the household. So, like, I got up. I started standing up for myself and started fighting back. And ever since then, I haven't kind of stopped. But I was always getting challenged physically. And then again, if I'm getting abused, it's my fault.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So when did you realize that it wasn't normal or that it was becoming a problem for you?
Honestly, I just thought it was a way of life. I would be around people like my godmother who would validate how I felt. I would be around family and or friends, actually, not family, but friends, that I would see their families, how they would behave. And right. I have friends even since third grade. You know, I have really good friends that know me very well. So they've seen me go through this. But even telling my friends, I have friends that I go back over 20 plus years. We like this and they have no clue. This is the first time they're hearing about right. the abuse right now.
Right.
I'm so good at masking it. It became so dysfunctional. And that's why even now, like I could be going through some shit right now. I could be crying in the other room, but turn around here and just put my, oh, make sure I'm good. All right, I could put a face on, you know? So it kind of empowered right. me in that sense. It made me deal with extreme situations, you know, being able to balance that and not be a victim to that on a daily basis. But constantly waking up in what's going to happen, constantly my room being messed up, constantly my stuff being damaged, constantly people just picking on me in my household. It was just so unhealthy. And then going into my about 13, 14 years old, I got tired of getting beat on, honestly. I got tired of getting picked on all the time. I got in a situation where I ditched school, was going to get busted, and I didn't want to get my ass kicked. So I left. I ran away. I ran away. I was 13, and I ran away with some grown-ass men. Took off grown-ass. I'd rather be in that extreme situation
right.
than be at home dealing with getting beat down. You know, because I believed them, what they were saying about me. You know, like people think that I come from this positive bubble and I'm just like, oh, this magic dust, fairy dust. But no, this is self-earned. My fairy dust is like gray and black. It's like charcoal. It'll leave some stains. My fairy dust is rough. But just having to, I didn't have that support, you know, and I started believing what everybody said about me. And that's the downfall for people that are in abusive situations, when they believe what they are saying about, you know, like having someone have that much power over you to tell you you're crazy, you're emotional, don't speak up, or you're, you know, snitching, or you're this and this. Like if you do that, like that's a constant mentality.
It's confusing, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you don't know any other way. So if I got abused or I got my ass kicked or something happened to me, I literally just... That's it. It's okay. I'm happy. I got a smile on my face. I'm hustling. I'm working to try to get out of my situation. So I've always been on trying to get better in a sense. When I ran away, the police weren't even called. I was gone for like 2 weeks. No one called the police. Like no one cared. So then when I got back home, I, you know, it was kind of like a physical altercation. I felt back. I felt ashamed again. I felt back to that hole, you know, that I was just trying to run away from. And then when I got more, when I got older, when I got into high school, I moved up to Oregon. I had to move to Oregon. It wasn't by choice. It was to protect my mother from CPS, you know, honestly, at the end of the day. I was on the floor begging my counselor to, like, not call CPS. I will move. But I had bruises, like, up and down my body. I was, like, fucked up, you know, and I was really torn because I really loved school at the time. But I dropped out of tennis. I dropped out of basketball. Like, it was really messing with me. I started cutting myself. I was suicidal at that point. So moving to Oregon was good because it got me out of it. But then it put me in another dysfunctional situation, you know. So
So was it your decision to move?
No, I just was threatened. Like, if I stay, I have to go to CPS. If I stay here with my family, then I have to... CPS will be called. But in my mind, I'm thinking, shit, my brother's gonna come kill me. Like, he's gonna kill me. Like, I can't. I was like, you can't. You're gonna make it worse. Like, they will come for me. So that's the fear I lived in, you know, growing up. So uncomfortable to live like that on a regular basis. That's where all my anxiety comes from, you know. A lot of my stressors, I'm prone to it. I'm used to it. I'm hyper all the time, naturally. So when I moved to Oregon, it was like, I got really depressed. I had a parent, well, my father, who was, he has his own problems with medication. He was giving me painkillers because he thought that would help me sleep. So I got addicted to painkillers. And here I am.
How old were you? 15 years old.
Addicted to painkillers. I was already cutting myself. I already tried to kill myself. I already ran away. You know, it was rough. And being addicted to painkillers just made it everything a lot worse for me. But he didn't know any better. He really thought it was helping me sleep. I couldn't sleep at night. So that was something that I struggled with, you know.
So what was your catalyst to get on this journey to heal yourself?
Well, after I left Oregon and came back to California, I still was in a very destructive environment. Like I said last week about being self-honest, like when I left L.A., I left. Like, I was done with it. I had a situation where, right before I left, when I told you guys the last story about leaving and never going back and moving to the Bay Area, that was my final straw with gangs. But my final straw with my house, I was trying to get one of my siblings to get out of my room. And he spit on me in my face. And I try to talk to my parent and speak up. But again, I'm in that same situation where that person's not validating how I feel. That is my fault. You know, I'm emotional. Or
Just deal with it.
They were so concerned with protecting the abusers. And it's even like that now. It's even like that now. We live in a society where women or anybody who's a victim of abuse is scared to speak up because they don't want to hurt the feelings of their abusers. Like, how crazy is that? You know, like, we live in this cage. We're like that lion in the cage because we're scared to just be free. But that's your truth. You got to own your truth. It's part of self-honesty. I own everything I say that I went through. It's never for pity at all. Like, I'm super tough. I dealt with it. I check myself. And I have the best circle of best friends that have not let me fall. Best team of women that have been around me pretty much my whole life that inspired me. But my final straw when I moved up to when I all like that's way fast forward my final straw. But when I was in when I had my daughter was my pretty much my time that I had to heal.
Okay.
Because I was just looking at her like, damn, like she's like a little baby. Like I got to kind of change my ways. I don't want her to be messed up like me. I got to fix this. If I got to be a role model to her, right. I got to kind of change it around. So, and people would tell me all the time back then, like, oh, well, you know, you could just get over your trauma, you know, just turn the page or, you know, that happened in the past. You're not hearing them more. But like, it's still in my person. I'm right. still carrying that energy around. And I didn't even know it. I figure if I'm working or I'm being productive or if I'm going that, you know, I won't fail. But right. it's taken to a point where I'm like, okay, well, I haven't even really comforted myself. I haven't comforted myself at all.
Well, yeah, you know? I think that's relatable for a lot of people, what you just touched on. Like, how do you find the balance between just accepting it and letting it go and addressing it and healing from it? Because I'm sure that most people that deal with stuff, if they don't have the tools to get past it, they simply just ignore it and try to move forward.
Right.
And try to forget it, self-medicate.
And worse is that the abusers move forward. They want you to forget. They don't want to be confronted. Mm. You know, they don't look in the mirror. Like all these people that I'm talking about, like I could sit here and have a conversation with them and kind of laugh at them. Like it's the devil doesn't like to be laughed at, but I've really healed from that. And people that are abusers, and just to put it in perspective for people that fear your abusers, because there's a fear that goes into, you know, being abused. You have fear. You put this person up here, but you got to think this person is not up here in your life. The person that has hurt you, traumatized you, abused you, they're not up here. It's actually the opposite. They're actually like tiny in your life. It's just that we give them that much power. You know, they just want to be here in your mind, but they don't have that power. They get you when you're weak. They get you when you're a child. They get you when you're intoxicated. They prey on you. You know, they creep out on you. Like, that's just for those people. Like, even my abusers, like my brothers, like, look in the mirror. Like, have a conversation with yourself. You know, like, it's a little sick. You know what I'm saying? You can do it. Like, have a self. Listen to episode one. Have a self-honest conversation with yourself and heal. You have to run towards the healing process.
Yeah. So what are the some of the tools that you use? Like, what would you recommend to somebody that's had a traumatic experience?
Well, I had to kind of change my perspective, first of all. I had to understand that my trauma was my training for success. Like, that really did make me a strong-ass bitch, you know? Like, I've had people that have raped me or sexually assaulted me when I was down, or people that have, you know, just hurt me. And I had to understand that that was my training. Like, I had to go through what I had to go through. There was no other way. It was terrible what I went through. And I love that little girl for being so brave, but really changing my perspective and understanding. I have a couple things, too, steps of people that have been through some shit and, you know, and it's not talked about. I know so many, not just me, but so many people that I've talked to that will turn around and tell me like, yeah, no one, I can't talk about that, about my family. I can't bring this up. My, you know, my parents never validated how I feel. You know, the victim blaming and the victim shaming is a real thing, you know, and that's, it's 2021 and we still do that. You know, so for me, the first step, besides understanding the perspective of yourself, that you're a warrior, that you're amazing, that you're strong, that that person couldn't bring you down, that person couldn't break you, those cowards couldn't break you, you know, like you're still here. You're still not a victim. You're not a victim anymore. You know, we live it in our minds. But for me, the first step I do, and this was overcoming rape, being molested, abused, you know, being all these things, is cut them out of your life. We enable, I forgive and forgive and forgive, but you got to cut them out of your life. The abusers, the enablers, or anybody who doesn't validate how you feel or what you went through, cut them out, because you don't need that in your life. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need that negativity in your life. And if people want them around, and that's what happened to me recently, I've dealt with a trauma, and I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit, because my godmother had passed, and here I am in, well, it was last year, you know, well, 2020 to 2021, I'm having these feelings of trauma again. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm that little girl that don't have her godmother to run to anymore, validate how she feels. I'm stuck with, you know, 95% of my family that doesn't validate how I feel, or, you know, a little bit of a chauvinist or victim blame and so forth. So I got scared. I got scared. I got angry. I was lashing out. I was having anxiety. And this was after I've healed. I went to therapy. I go to school. I understand self-communication. I've done spiritual retreats. I've done psychedelics, you know, like, like I dive into all of that. But here I am losing my godmother and grieving for the first time in my life, like really, truly grieving. And kind of like what I said, you can't really heal trauma without the grief. So it took her to, when she was suffering, which is still was, it's getting better for me, but just seeing her suffer and having these deep conversations with her about speaking up, speaking your truth, you know? And, but at the same time, I'm over here fighting my ego. I'm angry. I want to fight. I want to start some shit. You know, I just want, I have this whole negative mindset that was just spiraling out. And I had no clue. I was meditating. I was praying. I was doing the steps. But still, my muscle memory was like regurgitating it. You know, so I had to isolate myself. I had to understand. And I had to let that process flow through me. I had to not resist that process. I had to cry it out. You know, I had to really feel the moments to kind of move forward. So that was very liberating. And when I decided to start speaking up about my abuse and bring this into Radiate Motivate, actually, my kids were my inspiration, Isaiah and Kylene. I, when I was going through this time where I was really angry and really stressed, I realized that I put on a mask. I put on a role for my kids. I went into the trauma trance where I'm a zombie mode. I'm just an awesome mom. I'm going to overcompensate. I'm always positive. We, you know, a cupcake family. We live in the burbs. We're going to the best schools, blah, blah, blah. You know, all that. They didn't know the real me. They didn't know the struggle. They just thought I'm just overly positive as a person.
Right. You touch on the trauma trance.
Yeah.
For people that aren't familiar with that terminology.
It's just if you something traumatic happens to you, kind of like what you were saying happened to you, happened to me. You go into a trance, like you just snap out of it. It didn't happen. You know, you wear it. It's kind of, you know, it's there, you know, but you're in a trance of just trying to just keep it pushing. You're forcing your way through, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've done for most of my kids' life. And when my godmother was sick, and it really hit me, like, shoot, not even my kids know why I'm angry right now, why I don't want to see my siblings, or why don't I this and this. So let's sit down and have this conversation. So I was legit scared. I was scared to have this conversation with my kids. This was just, what, like 6 months ago? I was scared to sit down with my son, and my son's 19 at the time. He's 20 now.
So why were you scared? Like, what were you afraid was going to happen?
Well, I just put on a role for so long. I made everything look so surfacey and good for so long. And I was scared they were going to judge me. I kind of deep down thought that they were going to shame me.
Shame and guilt.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I thought that was going to happen. And so I sit down with my son and I'm like shaking. I'm like, hey, I got to tell you something. You know, it's all dramatic. Okay. Like, you know, let me tell you about my past. Like, you know, it's this is all that's happened. This is why I'm this way. This is why, like, I can't hide this anymore. I'm back in Whittier. I'm back home. I don't have my godmother. I'm vulnerable. I got to bring these worlds together that I ran away from for so long. Right. You know, I ran away from it. Honestly, for so long and didn't look back. So telling him, expressing to him about everything that was going on, after I said everything, it was kind of like, so, you know, what you think about that? Like, hey, did you, you know, what do you think
I'm
about
sure
everything
it was
I said?
For him to take in and
absorb. Oh, yeah, for sure. He was so overwhelmed. And man, he just said the best thing ever. He said, man, like, I'm so proud of you. Like, it's so amazing to sit here as an audience and listen to my mom talk about these things that you overcome. And I'm just shocked, you know, like I didn't expect that. And then I'm like, okay, I told my son, now I gotta tell my daughter, you know. And so I call my daughter, we're FaceTiming, and I just lay it on her, and she's crying as I'm telling her about my past, you know. And again, she's so proud of me. And that's one thing about this generation. This people talk down about this generation, but I love this generation. This younger generation, they're badasses. They're open mind. They want you to own you how you feel. They want you to own your trauma. I'm so inspired that it's so welcoming for me to talk about these things, because I know if we were having this trauma conversation back in the 90s, we would be shamed for sure. You know, they don't have those conversations back then, or in the 80s or the 70s. You know, they don't have these conversations. So I appreciate that, you know, it's more welcoming. So, and for people that have been traumatized or people that are still holding on to that stuff, like, know that it's okay to let go. And we live in a day and age where it's okay to let go. You're embraced. It's okay to talk about these things and speak about these things. But the first thing you got to do is cut the abusers and the enablers or the people that don't validate how you feel. Cut them out. It might get lonely. It will get lonely. I said 95% of my family are all enablers or abusers. And I had to cut them out. Do you know how hard that is?
It's a lot.
But I'm okay with that because I have such peace in my life. I don't have to question who's around me. I don't have to question, you know, I don't have to be antagonized. You know, that's one thing. When my godmother was sick, I had people antagonizing my trauma, bringing it up, making sure if I'm going to be okay if these people are around versus the abusers, you know? And that's like so dysfunctional and backwards. Can't we just have a real conversation? Like, look, this is not okay. You want to rape or physically abuse your sister. You know what I mean? Or like, it's not okay that you try to kill your sister. You know what I'm saying? Like, stuff like that. It's not okay. If you're doing that, you have to really look at it inside and see, what is wrong with me? Why do I have the urge to rape my sister? Why do I have the urge to beat up my sister? Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's a real self-honest question you have to sit down and ask yourself. And you're never going to heal. All those people I'm talking about, they're, I don't even want to say, but I don't want to judge their life.
Yeah. And most people that are hurt other people. So I'm sure that's a big part of the reason that a lot of that stuff happens.
Oh, for sure. And we're old now. We're grown. You know what I mean? I'm not angry. I didn't press no charges. I wanted to, but I didn't press no charges. I kept my distance. And I've healed from it. And this is a result of really healing from it, especially this last 6 months of just being kind of isolated, watching who I hang out with, making sure everybody around me that's supportive of me as I was puking it all up. And that goes into my next step of getting over and dealing with your trauma is getting that time to grieve for yourself, but also give yourself unconditional love in the process. That unconditional love in the process. Let me explain to you something about unconditional love for yourself. Like I told you in the last episode, you're the only person that you're going to love completely unconditionally is yourself. But when you're a victim, or you're, you know, come from trauma or abuse or anything that has messed with your psychological path, you know, it's like you start questioning yourself. You have more doubt. You start thinking of those people, even if you aren't thinking about those people. They'll still pop in your mind.
It kind of consumes your mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, you could be drinking and it triggers you. Or somebody says something and it triggers you. And, you know,
you hear a song and it triggers you.
Absolutely. I have so much emo music and depressed music that I cry to and write to.
Facts.
But unconditional love is really spending time with yourself. Like writing a letter to yourself of how brave you are for overcoming what you've been through. That's a great start.
Yeah, that's one thing I did want to touch on. A bit of advice I would give to people who have been through traumatic experiences and been victims of things. Don't blame yourself, because there's no guilt or shame that you should feel based on something someone else did to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So really loving yourself through it, writing about it and so forth. Write a letter to yourself. Self-educate your patterns of behavior. We are acting. We have reacted in our life. If trauma has not been addressed in your life, then you're pretty much reacting to it. You know, you're living a life to just repress it. So I had a nonstop life. I've channeled all my anxiety, all my trauma to being productive. I swore on that. I just being productive. I'm just going to focus on going to school and providing for the kids, and I don't need anything, and I'm taking care of everybody. And
let's be clear, there's a difference between being productive and being busy.
Right.
A lot of times people will stay busy to keep their mind preoccupied from the trauma that they're trying to avoid.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's me.
The opposite of self-love, because you need to be still and focus and get to know yourself, as opposed to trying to do a million things just to stay busy.
And that's what I've done pretty much my whole life. When people would say, like, I can't believe your schedule. I mean, sleeping 2 hours here and there. I really pushed myself to a point where I couldn't even deal with myself. I couldn't be alone. I didn't want to be alone. I want to just be busy. I'm anxious. I got stuff to let out. I gotta keep it pushing. I gotta worry about something. I gotta wake up in a panic. I'm looking out my window sometimes. When I have no worries, I'm all looking out my window, like, what's going on?
You know, so your anxiety was really just giving you energy.
Right, right.
You're channeling that energy to be productive.
To being productive. And then I wore out, you know, and then my godmother got sick. And to be honest, that was a big life changer for me, you know, to not have that person to run to. And when I was dealing with life without her, or accepting that I have to live the rest of my life without her, I had to understand, like, the world isn't scary. I just thought it was a scary place for so long because that's how I was brought up, to be scared to speak up, scared to love, scared to be free, you know?
Right.
I'm right. I'm validate how I feel, you know? When you start owning it and speaking about it, right? But you start saying, I was right. My feelings are right. It's not me. I'm not crazy. You know,
yeah,
like,
speaking up, I think, is a very, very important part. Like you touched on, I think that vocalizing it helps you to heal and to deal with it, just getting it out, because if you just keep that inside, it's going to express itself one way or another.
Right.
So having somebody to talk to. I'm also going to touch on, you said your first tip is to cut those people off. What would you suggest for people who are in a situation where they can't cut someone off? Like, if you're a child living at home, going through a similar situation like yourself, what would you recommend for that person to not just cope, but to heal?
Well, I would say if they can't get out of the situation, but they can get, if they're able to get help, you know, there's a lot of online resources now. Whether you're on state insurance, they have therapy online. If you have insurance, they have stuff you could pay out of pocket online. Great therapy services. There's a lot of resources out now, you know, to self-educate yourself and understand the patterns of your behavior. You know, understand why you're doing what you're doing. I had to understand why I kept so busy. I had to understand why I hated myself. I had to understand, like, really fall in love with myself. And really, to me, that got me through. I just didn't want to prove them right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I didn't want to prove my abusers right.
I'm sure that was scary to have to face the reality that they were right, but you're internally knowing otherwise, because I mean, your intuition tells you, like, this isn't right.
Exactly.
People internally know what's right and wrong.
Right.
As clear as that is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm sure, like, they were, you felt brainwashed, I'm sure, at times.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, one of the one of my siblings that I cut off that was physically abusive to me, the last thing that he said to me was, like, oh, I'm going to pray that all the angels and you spiritually, like, you voodooing me? Damn.
Yeah.
And you even said, you're like, oh, you're having a spiritual war?
Yeah, that's
like, spiritual
thing.
Abuse? Like, wow, okay, well, I won't leave my house for a couple of days, and I'm about to sage and incense and meditate.
That stuff has an effect. Yeah, when I was 15, 10th grade, math class, this girl next to me, she told me that she was a palm reader. I'm, you know, whatever, 15.
Mm-hmm.
She read my palm, and she was like, oh, your lifeline is so short. She's like, you're going to die by the time you're 18.
Ooh.
And that stuck with me until I was 18.
Yeah,
so little
real.
Things, if you plant those seeds, they can really stick with you, especially a child, and it's coming from a parent or an older sibling. So,
And actually, you know what? And just because I'm openly talking about this and I feel so comfortable, when I started doing my Radiate Motivate podcast, I even had a parent reach out to me basically saying, keep their name out my mouth. And I'm just like,
that's a pretty hood statement. Keep your name on my mouth.
And I'm just like, what?
That sounds like a threat.
I really didn't even mention you, but, and I spoke highly of you. I don't understand, but just the thought of the truth scares people. But what about the abusers? What about when we have their conversation, you know? And then, you know, but it's like this idiocracy that this dysfunctional pattern of
but I think it would stem from, and this is just me speculating, like, I think it would be easier for someone to watch you deal with your shame or guilt than for them to take on that responsibility and have to deal with it and the guilt that they have for allowing it to happen.
And that was one thing that was always put on me, like that guilt. Like, don't speak up. My parents doing the best they can with, you know, the circumstances. Like, we cannot. No, we have to hold parents accountable. You know, we really do. I'm accountable for my kids. If they're messed up, and if someone were to hurt my kids, it's not even a, I'm busting out the bat, like, we out. Like, there's nothing to be said, you know?
Like, stole your bird.
Someone stole my bird in the hood. I was pissed. And then we ended up talking to the police, and I'm like, I'm about to go beat this kid's ass, right? Because I was not literally, but I was upset about my bird that someone just took. Right. And the cop told me, was like, oh, yeah, after you beat him up, call us and we'll pick him up. I'm like, give me this stick. I'm walking down the street for no reason with a stick and my daughter. Right. Like, we're about to find this person that stole my bird.
Right, right.
My hood problems.
Crazy. But yeah, I think that for a lot of people, it's the shifting of the blame, the shifting of the guilt, and the facing of the reality of the situation. Because right. I think even the person that allowed it, they may be dealing with trauma in their own type of way.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. But you know what? That should inspire us. That shouldn't enable us to not have conversations. That should inspire us to say, hey, let's get this out. Let's deal with it. And move on. Because when I'm in my trauma trance, I keep letting my siblings, I kept letting my family back in. I keep forgiving them. Just it was unhealthy for me that I didn't have that boundary with my family.
Yeah, people are going to treat you the way you allow them to.
Absolutely. And because I'm so sweet and forgiving, it got to a point that like my best friends, and I'm talking about my ride or dies from like third grade, CC, like my old school friends, they turn around and they'll tell me like, don't do it, Mo. Don't let this person back in your life. Please don't. Please don't. And it got to a point that my kids told me to not let these people back in my life because I forgive so easily and I take care of them mentally and spiritually. And that's an unhealthy pattern for me, you know, and that's what we pick up. We want to make everything right. That's my role. I want to make everything right so we can love normally. Well, that's what you do as somebody that's been abused. That's one of the traits that comes with it, you know, just so you become codependent and their happiness is not your happiness. You're doing everything. It's unbalanced, you know?
Right. So let's touch on that, the forgiveness part, because you said you would just forgive people and let them back in. But I'm sure that forgiveness is a very important part of healing from trauma.
Absolutely.
So how did that play a role in your journey?
Well, forgiveness, I forgive absolutely everybody in my life. I appreciate everybody in my life. I don't take back anything that I've been through. I don't want no pity. I don't want no, you know, none of that. Like, it's all love and good vibes because I spent 10 plus years just working on it. So exhausting undoing that. But when you get to a point of appreciation, like, man, I'm so much stronger. Like, when you start really loving yourself, you start appreciating the hero story. Have you ever heard of the hero story? It's like, you know, you go through all this BS to be this hero. Like, that's you.
Like being a martyr.
Yeah. It's like, that's you. If you're a victim of abuse, like, you're the hero of the situation. That was a training for you. Like, every hero story, like, there's always some BS that happens that's traumatic in the beginning. That's you. You know, now how do you overcome it? You know, and just running towards, I wrote here, like, running towards the best version of yourself. I love to challenge myself. You know, we kind of live in a life right now where everything's comfortable. We don't really challenge ourselves. But I wanted to challenge myself, like, who am I without the trauma and abuse? Who am I if I, like, had people believing me, like, my whole life, or I believed in myself my whole life? Like, who am I without that? And I want to do, this is it. You're seeing me. You're seeing the results of me hustling, trying to be that without the trauma.
The baggage.
And when you get to a certain point where you cut them off, you're healing, the forgiveness will come. You will forgive them. They know not what they do. You know, they're imbeciles. They're buffoons. They're cowards. Like, I'll roast all day an abuser. You know what I mean? I'll bully the bully. I love that. I have a deep passion for bullying the bully. And I don't know, it's a good and bad thing. If someone's getting bullied, I'll be the first one to be like, what happened? You know, like, let me go get them. But that's because it comes from experience. It comes from my defense mechanism. You know what I mean?
Right.
So definitely. And also, too, is when you speak on your trauma, so you get the circle of people, whether it be a friend to confide in or, you know, these people validate how you feel. You know, you got to speak up. The more you speak about your trauma or things that have affected you, the less power it has over you. Like, you understand, like, the more you talk about it, the less power it has over you. It's not in your head running rapid anymore.
Right.
It's in a box. It's a story. It's part of you, but it's not over you. Now you are bigger than the problem. You're bigger than your patterns of behavior or your trauma that you're in, you know? And meditating and praying is so important. You know, praying is asking and meditating is listening. I know it's hard to meditate. It's hard to quiet the mind. It's a muscle, especially if you're going at 1,000 miles per hour. And sometimes it's you want to fight the meditation. I've, for the longest, fought meditation. I've had to force myself to sit there and listen to my body. Why am I craving dysfunctions? You know, why am I going through this anger? Why am I having anger towards these people? I don't want to have anger towards anybody.
It's not a good feeling to walk around angry.
I know. If people wake up and they just wake up to anger. Like, we just had this conversation the other day. Like, people wake up, they just never happy. They wake up to anger. They wake up to misery. And that's not you. You got to break that cycle. You got to break that cycle for yourself, for your kids, because your kids aren't going to be truly happy. Your relationships aren't going to be truly happy when you're not real and sound of who you are. When you embrace that younger version of you, you know, that has been hurt, and just love on that person, you know. Understand, I had to read books. I remember when I first picked up a book about my subconscious mind, and my son's looking at me like, what is that? What are you doing? Right. I'm like, what? I'm reading.
What was your first book?
It was, well, I don't know. It wasn't my first book, but it was my first really hard book.
On the topic.
I messed up. I messed up on picking up this book. Yeah, it wasn't The Power of the Subconscious Mind. It was Dr. Carl Jung, and it was, I got through like 4 pages. I had to keep reading it over and over. I could not understand what was going on. Yeah, it was a lot for me to understand. I was Googling words, and I already gave my word. Like, I'm already looking like I'm smart in front of my son, who was like roasting me low-key about, you know, like reading. I'm like, yeah, I'm reading this book, and I never got through it. I understood it. Like, I went to school and understood other parts of it, and I Googled it, and I love. But just reading that book was, damn, can you dumb it down a little bit? Just a little bit.
Right, a little too much.
All these smart words.
Right. One book I would recommend, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. That book can help you in a lot of different ways as far as understanding yourself, healing, manifesting. Oh, it's a really good book.
Yes.
I recommend it for everyone.
I love that book. And also, I'm reading this book called The Wild Edge of Sorrow by Frances Weller. And this is about grief. If you have lost somebody, or if you want to get over trauma, this is such a great, everything he says, I'm just like highlighting. I mean, all my pages are folded. I'm a hot mess. Like, I beat my books up, honestly. But definitely check that book out. It's a great read if you want to self-reflect. So the other thing too is really challenge yourself to figuring out who you are without the trauma, and know that you're okay, and know that you can love on yourself and comfort yourself, that you are your own best friend, and find the empowerment in the abuse.
Yeah. Oh, looks like our time is running short. I can't believe it's already been 48 minutes. But on that note, I do want to touch on a couple of things. As far as other tips that you were saying,
mm-hmm.
To help people through, because that's the goal, not to just identify the trauma, but again, to heal and to move past it.
Yeah, we will definitely put other resources up too, of the online therapy, who you can contact.
Yes.
If you don't have anybody, hit me up on the motivational hotline. You know,
right.
I'm chilling. It'll distract me from school, but hit me up and I'll send you some resources for you to do online therapy or anything that you need to help with the trauma.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And again, the list of things on here, you kind of touched on them already, but asking for support, that's a good thing. Just
yes.
Like you say, addressing it, looking for services and resources, find a way to relax, kind of associated with the meditating thing,
mm-hmm.
Just get yourself in a good state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way to distract. That one, I don't really know. Like, no. I remind you, I found that on the internet. So I don't know if you want to distract from it more so than just relax with it. And the last thing was seek the company of others who have been through what you're going through. So find somebody that can relate and go through that process with them if possible.
And thank you so much for listening and having this conversation with us. We really appreciate it. This was uncomfortable for me. I'm liberating my limits. Hey.
Yeah.
I'm inspiring myself right now because I'm doing it. That's the first time I vocally talked about my abuse. So thank y'all. I really appreciate whoever we manifested to listen to this. We greatly appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thank you for everybody that tuned in this week. And we look forward to being with you guys next week.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, or is it? Oh. Are we done?
I believe we are.
Okay.
That's it. Signing off. Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Keep being awesome.
You're listening to Radiate Motivate Radio with Monique Valdez and Keith Wright, only on LA Talk Radio.